My dear friends, this morning's scripture reading comes from Galatians chapter 5, verses 2 through 12. This is the inspired, therefore infallible, inerrant, and authoritative word of God, sufficient to make us wise unto salvation and equip us for good works. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. So my dear friends, about 4 years ago, I came across a news article on CNN that featured an international women's marathon in China. And in this article, I read about this one Chinese athlete who unfortunately lost her first place due to unforeseen and uninvited interventions during her race. Now, if you are a marathon fan, maybe you already know this story. But for those of us who doesn't understand why people choose to torture themselves for hours, well, here's how the story goes. You see, on November 18, 2018, an international women's marathon was held in Zhangzhou, China. And in this race, many people were convinced that a Chinese athlete named He Yinli would win the gold medal, as she was keeping her first place, and even though she was followed, you know, closely by an Ethiopian athlete behind her. But as she was nearing the finish line, only like 0.3 miles left to run, you know, for her gold medal, suddenly a random Chinese volunteer rushed onto the track and blocked the way of the athlete and tried to hand over a flag in her hand. And when this athlete failed to grab the flag at the first time, another volunteer, you know, broke into the track, and he insisted this athlete to grab a huge Chinese flag so that she can enter into the finish line with this massive flag, you know, flying over her head. And well, even though these Chinese volunteers may have good and patriotic intentions behind their actions, as you can imagine, these unforeseen and uninvited interventions fatally hindered her. I mean, as she was closely competing with the Ethiopian athlete behind her, she ended up losing her rhythm, her pattern, her pace of running. And that it costed her the gold medal, as the Ethiopian athlete managed to run past her and enter into the finish line first. Now, you may be wondering why I'm opening this morning's message with this unfortunate story. But I'm doing this because in today's text, the Apostle Paul also describes the Galatian Christians as the athletes who had been running a good race called Gospel Marathon. You see, when the Apostle Paul came to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in Galatia during his first missionary journey, we were told that many Galatians came to believe in the gospel, and they put their faith in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. I mean, if you remember, the Apostle Paul recounted this beautiful memory of his gospel endeavor in Galatians chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. Paul said, "You know, it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first, and though my condition was a hindrance to you, that you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. But despite their beautiful and glorious beginning of their gospel marathon, after the apostles had left Galatia, the false teachers quickly broke onto their track and began to hinder them running their race as they insisted upon a false doctrine, a false teaching called legalism, that is justification by Jesus plus law, Jesus plus human contribution, Jesus plus my works. And what's interesting to me is that today's text seems to communicate more and more Galatians were being persuaded by these false teachers and being, you know, by this false doctrine. And we can read this from verses 7 through 9 of today's text as the Apostle Paul, in amazement, questions, "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump." So as such, the Apostle Paul now responds in today's text what I would describe as the most dreadful and weighty warning out of this entire letter to Galatians, as he writes in verse 2, "Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you." In other words, the Apostle Paul declares to the Galatians in today's text, with full exertion of his personal and apostolic authority, that you do not want to do this. He says, because if you choose to add anything to your simple faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation and your justification, might as well you will just give up Jesus completely, because he will be of no benefit to you. So this morning, I want to examine with you the Apostle Paul's solemn warning against the false doctrine of legalism, that is justification through Jesus plus law, Jesus plus human contribution, Jesus plus my works. And to this end, please allow me to submit this weighty and important proposition to you that you can find on the bulletin, on the sermon outline, so that we can all know what the Apostle Paul wants us to understand from Galatians 5, verses 2 through 12. So, dear friends, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 2 through 12, the Apostle Paul warns the Galatians that they do not want to be justified by the law, as it will render Christ no benefit to them. I'll say it again. In today's text, the Apostle Paul warns the Galatians that they do not want to be justified by the law, as it will render Christ no benefit to them. Well, then let's jump into today's message. So why does the Apostle Paul warn the Galatians that they do not want to do this? I mean, how can the Apostle Paul make this solemn, bold, really a shocking claim to the Galatians that if they add anything to their simple faith in Jesus, you know, whether it be circumcision, whether it be observing the religious festival, whether it be keeping the dietary law, how can the Apostle Paul say that that will render Christ no benefit to them? Well, in today's text, the Apostle Paul first explains, he really qualifies his dreadful warning before Galatians as he reveals that anyone who chooses to circumcise themselves, that is, anyone who wants to contribute anything to their salvation, must understand its subsequent heavy obligation. So let's jump into the first point of today's sermon, that is the Apostle Paul's warning about the heavy obligation. The Apostle Paul's warning about the heavy obligation. As he writes in verse 3 of today's text, "I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law." Well, then before I go any further, let me ask a question to our boys and girls here. Well, boys and girls, how good are you guys keeping rules and instructions? Someone's confident. I mean, if your mom and dad tells you to do something here, you know, gives you a rule or something to follow, how do you guys keep them? Do you guys you know, managed to keep all the rules and instructions? Do you guys manage to keep some of the rules and instructions? Or do you guys, you know, struggle to keep them? You know, I have no doubt that if your mom and dad gives you one rule to follow, that I hope that you will do a good job keeping it. Now imagine your mom and dad giving you 10 rules to follow. You'll be like, huh, I can still make it. How about 50? Ooh, that's getting hard, right? How about hundreds of rules that your mom and dad gives to you and say, you have to do this? Well, I'm sure many of you will say, that's impossible, right? Many of you will say that that is so ridiculous. Many of you say that I cannot live a life with hundreds of rules to follow in every day. And I think some of us here at Christ might even call CPS, you know, if any parents, you know, give 100 rules for their children to follow. And the fact of the matter is that we all know that none of us can possibly live a life filled with hundreds of rules and instructions and the laws. But that is exactly what the Apostle Paul warns the Galatians of in today's text. As he writes in verse 3, I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. In other words, Paul warns the Galatians that if they want to contribute anything, something to their justification and salvation, and so to choose circumcise themselves so that they can show their works and obedience to the law, he says that they are essentially signing up for a life not just with one rule, not just with 10 or 50, a life with endless rules and instructions to obey in their daily conduct. And just to make sure that we all fully capture the gravity of this heavy obligation, let me quickly clarify to you that Paul is not talking about here just keeping the famous Ten Commandments in the Bible. You see, although scholars differ in their opinion, it is generally agreed that there are about 613 divinely prescribed rules and instructions in the Old Testament alone. And even if that is not an exact number, there are certainly more than enough rules and instructions in the law in the Old Testament that ordinary man and woman can possibly remember and observe in their everyday life. I think I have a pretty good memory, and I have a reason to say that. You know, when I was in seminary, I used to memorize all of the Dr. Beakey's lecture word for word, so that I can get A's on the exams. But I don't think I can memorize all these 613 rules and instructions. Certainly, I cannot keep them every day. But Paul says that if anyone hopes to gain righteousness by doing something with the law, that they must obey every single one of these commandments perfectly, as the Bible itself says, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. And for the matter, before you think that sounds too exasperating, here comes an even bigger problem. You see, when the Apostle Paul says every man who accepts circumcision is obligated to keep the whole law, he's also saying that the legalist must obey the law of God, not only individually, but also collectively. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it means that the legalist must seamlessly obey not only one commandment or 10 commandments, but all of the 613 commandments without exception. Doesn't matter if you keep 612 commandments, but if you break one, you break everything. Again, the Bible also testifies about this. As James chapter 2, verse 10 says, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of it all. So I don't know about you, but I have no doubt that when Galatians read verse 3 of today's text, that their hearts would have sunk. And perhaps their minds began to panic as they slowly recognized what they were about to sign themselves up for. You know, they would have understood that the Apostle Paul's heavy obligation, an impossible life that they were about to volunteer to live if they accepted the circumcision and justification through the law. But as you can see in today's text, the Apostle Paul goes on, and he gives the second reason why the Galatians do not want to circumcise themselves. And that is because Paul says if they do this, they will also find themselves being estranged, separated, alienated from Jesus Christ. So let's jump into the second point of today's sermon. That is the Apostle Paul's warning about the hopeless estrangement. The Apostle Paul's warning about the hopeless estrangement. As it continues in verse 4 of today's text, you are severed from Christ. You who will be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. Well then, apart from the heavy obligation that follows the legalism, why should the Galatians never try to circumcise themselves or put human efforts or human contribution to their justification? Well, Paul declares in today's text, you don't want to do this, because if you do this, you'll be severed from Christ. Now, I don't know if any of us here at Christ Press ever had a painful experience of being severed from someone that you dearly loved or dearly knew in your life. I hope you guys never had to deal with it, but likelihood is that I'm sure at some point in your life you had to experience this painful, tragic event, being severed from someone that you love. But if I may get a little personal with you, you know, when I was in high school, I had this painful experience of being severed, you know, being cut off from a very close relationship that I had with my best friend. And to this day, I really don't know what happened. You know, I have no idea what prompted it. You know, he and I hung out all the time. He and I shared many same interests. I considered him as my brother. I thought he considered me as his brother. I really thought we were BFFs, you know, best friend for life. But out of nowhere, one morning, he just completely changed his demeanor to me. He wouldn't talk to me. He wouldn't look at me. In fact, he would make it very clear to me that he wanted to have nothing with me as he ignored me to my face. Don't know what happened. Out of nowhere, one morning he did that. And just like that, I was severed or cut off from him. And I spent many months, about a year actually, in shocks and confusion over this tragic, strange incident. But you see, in the like manner, Paul warns the Galatians of something very painful and tragic truth in today's text. He declares to the Galatians that if they accept circumcision in the hope of being justified by the law, that Christ will cut off his relationship with such a person. That Jesus will not talk to him. That Jesus will not look at him. That Jesus will make it very evident that he is a stranger with all those who will be justified by the law. So much so that Paul declares these unbelievable words in verse 4, you have fallen away from grace. But then, at this point, some of us might be wondering this question. That is, you might be thinking, well, Pastor Sub, that sounds really extreme, isn't it? Perhaps some of you might think, that sounds almost not theological at all. I mean, come on, what is so big deal about, you know, receiving circumcision that Jesus will cut off his relationship with such a person? What is so big deal about trying to be justified by the law that Jesus will say, I don't know you? After all, shouldn't that be commendable? You're trying to do something for God, for Jesus? But my dear friends, the fact of the matter is that it is a big deal for someone to be circumcised for the righteousness before God. That it is a big deal for someone to obey the law for justification. Because it means that he or she does not have a full trust in the person and the work of Jesus Christ for their salvation. and that they believe they can do something more, that they can do something other than what Jesus has done for their right standing before God. I mean, it is like you are saying, yes, I know Jesus died upon the cross. I know Jesus' blood forgives my sin, but just in case, I'll do this, I'll do that to make sure that I am in. And Paul declares to the Galatians in today's text that such a person will be separated from Jesus. I mean, like what we read in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, a man or a woman who will be justified by the law will also stand before God, before his holy throne. And they will also say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not performed miracles in your name? Have we not drove out demons in your name? They will say, have we not circumcised ourselves in your name? Have we not observed the religious festivals in your name? Have we not kept all the dietary laws in your name? But only to hear from the Lord, depart from me. I never knew you. Why? Because Jesus does not ask for a partial and half-hearted trust, but because he looks for complete and wholehearted trust in him. And in this light, Paul gives his final reason why the Galatians must not circumcise themselves. So to choose the life of legalism, the life of justification by Jesus plus work. And that is because, Paul explains, such an action, receiving circumcision, would be nothing more than a hysterical and ludicrous act of terminating the offense of the gospel. So let's jump into the last point of today's sermon. That is the Apostle Paul's warning about the hysterical termination. The Apostle Paul's warning about the hysterical termination. As the Apostle Paul writes in verse 11, but if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the gospel, offense of the cross has been removed. So in verse 11 of today's text, we get to read something very interesting about the dynamic of Galatian churches during this time. And today's text, it seems to suggest to us that some sort of a false accusation, some sort of a misinformation about Paul existed in these churches. And we don't exactly know what caused this misunderstanding or these false accusations, but it seems as though that false teachers in Galatia, they latched on it. And they were claiming that Paul is also preaching and teaching that Christians must be circumcised and live according to the manner of the Mosaic law. But against such an accusation, Paul declares to the Galatians today that this is simply not true. I mean, for one, Paul says, if I was preaching circumcision, if I was telling other Christians that you have to be circumcised and you have to live according to Mosaic law, there's no reason why other Jews will persecute me. There's no reason why other Jews will hate me. But most importantly, Paul also declares 11 that if I preach circumcision, in that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. So I think we have to ask a very important question right now. That is, what does the Apostle Paul mean here by the offense of the cross? I mean, what is this offense of the cross that the Apostle Paul is talking about in verse 11 that he cares so much about in today's text? Well, the Greek word, the original word for offense in today's text is called scandalon, where we get the English word scandal or scandalous. You know, in the Bible, Paul often argues that the cross and his message are scandalous to the Jews because he declares that the promised Messiah, that the Son of God, died a humiliating and cursed death upon the cross. You know, you see, if you remember from the gospel accounts, you know, Jesus was loved and followed and was famous among many Jews during his life on earth. I mean, many Jews, they hope that Jesus would be the promised Messiah, you know, who will deliver them from their oppressors, who will restore the glory of David's kingdom in Israel again. That's why they followed him, apart from all this, seeing all these miracles. But if you remember, many Jews left Jesus when he declared that he was the Son of God. Even more Jews left Jesus when he declared that he came to give his life as a ransom. And almost all the Jews left him when he died an agonizing and humiliating death upon the cross. Even his disciples left him, except John. So when the apostles and disciples declared that this Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, but Jews could not, they couldn't understand or accept this truth. I mean, it was scandalous to them to think that. But to Paul, the scandal was something that had to be preserved. This was something that had to be protected. It was something that had to be declared to at every cost. Why? Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 through 24, that we preach Christ crucified, which is the power of God and the wisdom of God. In other words, Paul held tightly to the offense of the cross because in it he found the truth that Jesus came into the world and lived under the law so that his people will not have to live under his heavy obligation. For Paul, the offense of the cross was something that had to be protected because he found in it that Jesus Christ came into the world and died upon the cross so that his people will no longer be strangers to him, but his friends, his brothers, his sisters, his children, and his people. To Paul, the scandal of the cross was very power of God unto salvation and very mercy of God shown to the mankind, because he understood that Jesus fulfilled all the demands of the law and his requirement on our behalf and shed his blood for our sins so that he can reconcile us back to God and make us God's people in his heavenly kingdom. So Paul declares, if I preach circumcision, if anyone preaches circumcision, if anyone chooses life from the law instead of life from Christ, they will be guilty of hysterically terminating and removing this beautiful, glorious, powerful scandal of the cross. And in this way, the Apostle Paul warned against Galatians that they do not want to be justified by the law, because it will render Christ no benefit to them, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 2 through 12. And before we close today, I think we have to talk about this important question, that is, what lessons should we learn from Galatians chapter 5, verses 2 through 12 for ourselves? I mean, what important application should we glean from today's text for our own spiritual well-being? How should we take this text back home and think about it? Well, I believe one straightforward lesson that we can glean from Galatians chapter 5, verses 2 through 12 is that it encourages all of us to examine ourselves, whether we are putting any trust in our flesh or not. It encourages all of us to examine ourselves to see whether we are putting any trust or confidence in our flesh or not. I mean, let me ask you, my dear friends, right now. If you were to stand before judgment throne tonight, I mean, if you were to meet your maker, if you were to meet your creator tonight, how would you appeal yourself before God of justice? Or for the lack of better terms, how would you defend yourself before God of holiness if you were to meet him tonight? If what comes into your mind right now, if the first thing that comes into your mind right now is, I read my Bible, I pray every day, I serve the church in this or that capacity, I want you to listen very carefully right now, because you must do some serious soul searching to see where your trust and confidence lies in your life after death. You see, that's what the Galatians and the Judaizers would have said about their confidence. You know, they would have said, I am circumcised. I obey all these religious laws. You know, I lived according to the manner of Mosaic laws. They would have said, I kept all the dietary laws. But what does Paul says in today's text? He says, if that is where your confidence lies, Christ will be no benefit to you. Not only that you will have to live under his heavy obligation of the law, but that you will be found to be a stranger to Jesus Christ. And worse yet, you will be found guilty of removing the offense of the gospel with your trust in yourself. But if we are honest, we all do this, right? I do this sometimes. I often find myself trusting in my own works. I often find myself putting my confidence in things that I do. And I'm sure many of you do that too. So some of us might be thinking right now, well, Pastor Sub, just like you, I often find myself constantly trusting in my own efforts and work. Now, how should I make sure that I am not putting my trust in myself? How can I make sure that I am not severing myself from Christ? How can I make sure that I am not removing the offense of the cross with my trust in myself? And if that is what you're wondering, here is the antidote for our self-reliant religion. That is simply trust in Jesus and his works and his person with your whole heart. Simply look to Jesus and his works and his person in all your life. In fact, that's exactly what Paul says in Galatians in today's text. You see, in verses 5 through 6 of today's text, Paul gives this beautiful picture of those whose confidence is not in themselves, but in Jesus Christ alone, as he writes, "For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision count for anything, but only faith working through love." In other words, Paul says that our job as Christians, our confidence as Christians, our joy as a Christian is to simply and eagerly wait for the hope of our righteousness, that is Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Paul says in him, there is neither circumcision or uncircumcision. He says in him, there is neither A plus Christian or F minus Christian, if there's such a thing. But Paul says, in Christ, there is only those who stand before God after their death and will cry out, Jesus alone is my righteousness. That Jesus alone is my righteousness. That Jesus alone is my righteousness. So, my dear friends, have no confidence in your flesh and your works. Trust me, you do not want to do that. John Calvin, a famous reformer, once said, "Whoever is not satisfied with Christ alone strives after something beyond absolute perfection." So let me encourage you today, wholly trust in Jesus Christ and the offense of the gospel with your complete heart. Let us all pray together.